Doug Cartwright, portfolio manager for the Buffalo Emerging Opportunities Fund, is making his maiden voyage today, and we're talking stocks in the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, everybody. This is where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for, what they're looking out for that informs their buys or sells, what they're seeing in the market generally right now and how that's directing them. And then ultimately we put them to your test with a little bit of hold it or fold it. And I know you like to hear from new fund managers. Well, he's new to the show, but he is distinctly not new. Doug Cartwright is portfolio manager at Buffalo Emerging Opportunities Fund. Ticker symbol on that is BUFOX. And that is a fund with a great long-term track record. And if you want to learn more about it, buffalofunds.com. As long as you know the name of the fund company, go to Twitter where they're at Buffalo Funds. Doug Cartwright, welcome to Money Life.
Hey, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Now, we always start with methodology because a buy, sell, or hold is worthless until you know where somebody's coming from. But for all of my audience, this is really their first chance to get to know you. So what does go into your decision-making process? What informs your buys and sells?
Sure. Well, first off, we tend to be small cap growth investors, and we're on the smaller side of small cap growth, looking for disruptive companies with interesting products or interesting go-to-market strategies that can shake up industries or maybe even have new industries that haven't previously existed. So the first thing we're looking for is we are growth investors. So there's typically a minimum level of revenue growth that we expect. And I would say that's about 5%, but it's not really a hard number. About 100% of our process is fundamental and bottom-up. We're not focused on doing analysis of, you know, top-down factors. We don't think about markets as a whole. We're really looking for opportunities on a granular level, companies that have a chance to be much larger than they are today that we can acquire at a reasonable price or what we think is a reasonable price. So, like I said, we're long-term investors. We're not speculative, or we hope to not be speculative. Ultimately, we think what you pay for something should depend on the future cash flows you expect to receive from the company over time. And, you know, we have an investment thesis for every company of how we think the world or the industry or the market is going to play out and how it will positively affect the company we're investing in. So we're constantly comparing actual results to our expected results and evolving the thesis and making sure that what we believed when we got involved is still true today.
And while you say you're not a top-down investor and you're not looking at the big picture necessarily and how it factors in, there have to be times when, to one extent or another, it does factor in, at least in one way. And this is part of what I want to understand. You know, we talk all the time on this show about relative value. When somebody says they're a value investor, we're talking at times about, oh, is it absolute value, deep value, relative value? But you are managing, as clearly laid it out, as growth at a reasonable price, but growth can also be relative. And we are getting to an environment where we are seeing slower economic growth on a broad scale. For you, does that change? If we wind up seeing top down an economic slowdown, does that mean you have to say, okay, I'm settling for less growth? It's still a good growth number in this market, or is it an absolute growth number? You're not going to be there unless they can show you that they're growing top line revenues, et cetera, at a certain pace.
Yeah, that's a tough question. Generally, we're looking for absolute growth. We do recognize that not every market is the same, but I would say generally we're looking for absolute growth. And, you know, when we're operating with companies that are $150 million or $1 billion in market cap, there's generally a lot of opportunities for absolute growth, even if the general growth of the U.S. economy isn't as strong as it might have been at another point in the cycle.
So what makes you sell? If your methodology is looking for that growth at a reasonable price, is it mostly, hey, they can't keep up with that thesis anymore, they can't manage on that absolute basis, or is there something else in there?
Yeah, so there's a number of reasons we sell. The first of which would be that the thesis isn't playing out according to what we believe. So something has changed, whether it's with the industry, whether it's with the company, the strategy's changed, the focus has changed. There are more competitive products on the market than our company's product, things like that. And so when we start to see, you know, information that lets us think, well, maybe this isn't going to work the way that we hoped it would. That would be the first time that we would look to sell. Beyond that, we are very valuation conscious. And whenever we invest in something, we have an idea of, you know, this is where it trades today. If things go well, this is where we think it could trade. If things don't go well, this is where we think it could trade. And we sort of manage the risk and the reward and make sure that we have a positive skew towards strong performance from the stock at current levels. So valuation would be the next thing that causes us to sell. And, you know, sometimes we get in this scenario, again, we're small cap managers, where a company becomes $4 or $5 billion in market cap and it starts to become too big for the fund and the fund strategy. And whenever we see that, you know, that's the best case scenario, right? Because that means the company has doubled or tripled or more. We'll start to back away from the stock as well, because it just starts to get away from the spirit of the fund.
Well, now let's talk about who might be the poster child for the methodology. Who's in there in the sweet spot right now, the kind of stock that stands out as an example of this is what you want in Buffalo Emerging Opportunities?
Yeah, a company we like a lot right now is 8x8. And so that's symbol EGHT. And it's a SaaS-based provider of telephony. Basically, they compete with the Avayas and the AT&Ts of the world. They offer a more feature-rich, more reliable product that is generally cheaper, and you can use any equipment with it. On average, 8x8's product costs about half per user what Avaya's product costs. We think there's a lot of opportunity for growth here. So this is an enormous market, $30, $40, $50 billion. We've seen estimates all over the place, but we know that it's much larger than what it is today, as 8x8 has about $400 million of sales that they're expecting to get in this fiscal year. We see a big opportunity to grow and to accelerate their growth. So the first thing is they're really targeting three different types of companies within all of the opportunities out there, which are enterprise, which would be any company that has basically 1,000 users or more, mid-market, which would be, you know, 50 to 1,000 users, and then small and medium business, which would be about 10 to 50. Historically, most of their customers have been on the SMB side, and they've focused more recently in recent years on enterprise and mid-market. And so the opportunity is much larger there, as you can imagine. They're growing very quickly on the enterprise side, about 50% today.
Well, I want to ask a question here. Yeah. So sure. You've talked about how you build a portfolio, et cetera, and 8x8, again, its ticker symbol EGHT, I know is in the portfolio. It's one of your top holdings. Explain to my audience how when you have a high conviction stock pick like this, how much of your portfolio do you let it become?
Typically, we keep the weightings around 3%, but 3% would be a large holding for us. You can kind of infer that if it's a 3% holding for us, we feel pretty good about that stock. Whether it would become smaller than that really depends on the other opportunities that we see and how expensive, for example, 8x8 might become.
Right. Okay. So that's 8x8. What's another one that stands out to you right now?
We also like a company called Playa Resorts. And Playa Resorts is rolling up all-inclusive resorts in Mexico, Jamaica, and the Dominican Republic. Has it performed well in recent weeks, given all the noise that's going on in the Dominican Republic? But we do think that this company has some great opportunities, a lot of easy ways to grow EBITDA. They are very good at acquiring resorts from other sellers who may not be great operators. And what they do often is convert the brand and align with a Hilton or a Hyatt. This gives them opportunity to change bookings from travel agents to doing it through the Hyatt's or Hilton's website. There's a huge reduction in commissions paid when that happens. And so there's immediate EBITDA growth just from changing the booking channel. Beyond that, they're able to renovate the properties that they acquire, and they are able to take them upscale, make them much nicer. They can raise rate then, which it, you know, provides better returns. They are able to increase occupancy, which is, you know, this is a fixed asset that doesn't have any incremental cost for booking one more room. And they're able to deploy really high return capital projects. And so this is a company that trades today about 8x EBITDA. Most of the competitors are around 12x. We think that there's a big opportunity for appreciation in terms of multiple as well as the cash generation. So this is a company that does about $170 million of EBITDA in this fiscal year. And as they deploy some of these properties and some of these renovations and conversions they're doing, we think this their set of properties has the potential to have maybe $250 million of EBITDA.
Now that we know how it works, it's time to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's Hold It or Fold It time with Doug Cartwright, portfolio manager at the Buffalo Emerging Opportunities Fund. BUFOX, the ticker symbol, buffalofunds.com, the website, at Buffalo Funds, the ticker handle. Hold It or Fold It is where we put our guests to your test. And if you want to test our guests, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at moneylifeshow.com. We'll add them to our list and hope they make it into an interview soon. We're going to start with two requests today from Richard in Chula Vista, California. The first is for Inspire Medical Systems. That's ticker symbol INSP.
Inspire is a company we own, so that's a buy for us. We think that this stock could double over the next few years. They have a very compelling solution for sleep apnea. There's a real problem in sleep apnea, which is CPAP non-compliance, CPAP being the current solution for most people who are diagnosed with sleep apnea. This is an implant that suppresses the tongue and prevents breathing issues while you're sleeping. Efficacy has been very good. We think that there is a huge market here, maybe as much as $10 billion in the U.S., and there's a very strong management team. So we would rate Inspire a buy.
Yeah, there you go. Don't sleep, as it were, on Inspire Medical Systems, ticker symbol INSP.
Could we please buy now?
Richard's other request was for Simon Property Group. That's ticker symbol SPG.
Yeah, Simon Property Group for us is a sell. You know, I'm just highly skeptical of mall REITs. I do recognize that Simon Property Group is best in class. But just given what's going on in retail and the emergence of e-commerce, brick-and-mortar retail is really challenged for me. This company has a significant amount of debt, and any change in funding, occupancy, tightening of credit would be poor for Simon Property Group, in our opinion.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
Well, it will get worse and worse if any of those things that Doug is worried about were to happen. That's why Simon Property Group, SPG, is a sell, is a fold. Our next two requests come from Dave in Beaver Dams, New York. The first is for Comcast Corp. The Class A shares trade under CMCSA.
Comcast is a hold for me. It's about 8x EBITDA today. It's kind of an infrastructure provider. They are growing their high-speed internet subscribers, high single digits. I think they'll continue to do that. I don't see any reduction in bandwidth consumption over the coming years. I do think there is potential longer term that they could compete in wireless with a product. So maybe there's an opportunity to grow beyond that. But right now they're dealing with what was probably a poor acquisition in Sky, where they paid too much. They have to digest it a little bit. I don't think this stock is going to make you rich, but I do think it's a stronghold.
So hold it if you got it, but you're not buying more right now on Comcast, ticker symbol CMCSA.
No money changes hands today.
Dave in Beaver Dam shares this next request with Richard from Chula Vista, California. They both wanted to know about Visa, ticker symbol V.
Yeah, I think Visa is a hold. The only thing that makes me a hold on Visa is its valuation, which is about 21x EBITDA, about 27x free cash flow. This is probably the best fundamental company I've ever seen. 70% EBITDA margins, which gives you a good idea of how strong the moat is. This was started by member banks. It was designed to be a duopoly. It would be impossible to recreate this business, and it grows double digits every year. I think we're middle innings globally on the move to digital payments, and I don't see any real threats to the model. I think your biggest threat is regulatory, and the next leg up could be push payments. So now they are contracting with PayPal and with Square, with WorldPay, with Uber, so that the people who are on their platforms can receive their payments through the Visa network, basically going backwards through the Visa network, the opposite direction of a credit card transaction.
So this is a hold looking to buy on better prices.
Correct.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
It's a hold, again, looking for a better entry point on Visa, ticker symbol V. And last, in the limited time we have left, for Ron in Valparaiso, Indiana, it's Red Robin Gourmet Restaurants, ticker RRGB.
Red Robin's a sell for me. I just feel like the world is over-restauranted. I don't like the model. I think everybody serves a burger. you know, they've had a tough time growing check over time. The only way you can grow same store sales is grow check or get more people through the door. And the reason they've had a tough time growing check is it's too family friendly for alcohol sales. There's too much food for dessert. Pricing's tough because of the ubiquity of burgers, and you need promotions to get people through the door. I do recognize there are activist investors involved, and there's a $40 offer. I just don't believe that this company is where it is because it's mismanaged. So I'm skeptical of the offer, and I'm skeptical of the buyer's ability to fix the problems that are plaguing Red Robin. And in fact, I think the low-hanging fruit has already been picked by management. So I'm skeptical here. I don't think that a real offer is going to matriculate at $40. And so I don't like the industry. I would sell.
And so it's a fold.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
On Red Robin Gourmet Restaurants, ticker symbol RRGB. But a buy? Doug Cartwright, because this was a great interview. Doug, thanks for joining us. I look forward to your second time in the Market Call sometime down the line.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Chuck.
That's Doug Cartwright, everybody. He is portfolio manager for the Buffalo Emerging Opportunities Fund. It's ticker symbol BUFOX. Check out buffalofunds.com for more information. They're on Twitter at Buffalo Funds. Okay, we'll be back to wrap up our first No Pants Friday of the year to tell you where Doug agreed or disagreed on a couple of those picks with some other recent guests and to let you know what's coming next week during the holiday meeting week.